Jesus promises, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. And the word of God for our meditation this morning comes from the epistle lesson, Paul's second letter to Timothy. And there we read, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Heavenly Father, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Discovered under a church in Rome is a very old building, an old house. And legend tells us that the Apostle Paul lived in this old house for 2 years while waiting to be tried as an enemy of the state. In the old house is a marble pillar, and attached to the pillar is a rusty chain. And there is an inscription on the pillar in Latin, which translated reads, the word of God is not chained. That's the wonderful comfort which the Apostle Paul shared with his friend and young pastor Timothy. What did Paul mean? And what does this mean to us today? The word of God is not chained, or another translation, the word of God is not bound. Well, Paul was assuring Timothy that although he and everyone else for that matter could be bound or chained for being a Christian, there was no way that the word of God could be bound or chained. Nothing could fetter God's word. God's word cannot be bound by governments, religions, individuals, or even Satan himself. In other words, God's word cannot be silenced. Mind you, it has been tried over the years, hasn't it? And is still being tried today. That is to bind the word of God, to fetter it, to silence it. The Christian organisation known as the Voice of the Christian Martyrs informs us that presently in 52 countries around the world, the word of God or the Bible is banned, is illegal, or severely restricted. If you're caught with a Bible in North Korea, for instance, you can be imprisoned, tortured, and even put to death. As well, up to 3 generations of your own family can be punished if you own a Bible. However, in spite of these restrictions, many ministries manage to smuggle God's word into these banned countries. Radio and television stations are also beaming God's word to these and other countries. In other words, God's word is not bound. It cannot be muzzled. As well as governments, other religions, dictators and the like, which cannot fetter the word of God, thankfully a sinful heart cannot bound or chain God's heart as well. It's not a barrier to God's transforming word. Why not? For the simple reason that the Holy Spirit operates in the word of God. The word of God, the Bible, is the Holy Spirit's instrument, which he uses in miraculous and amazing ways. And nothing can stop the Holy Spirit, because after all, he is God with the Father and the Son. So the word of God penetrated the heart of Jacob, the great deceiver, and made him a forerunner of the Messiah. It penetrated the heart of Moses, a killer, a murderer, and made him an instrument in the hand of God to oppose the pagan Pharaoh in Egypt, and then to lead God's people safely through the wilderness to the promised land. It penetrated the heart of Saul, a proud Pharisee and a persecutor of Christians, to become the greatest Gentile to the Gentiles. It penetrated our heart and your heart when we were baptized and made us children of God. And the list goes on. A sinful heart is simply no match for the powerful Word of God. The Word of God is the most powerful force on earth. Forget about earthquakes and tsunamis, volcanoes, tornadoes and the like. Nothing can compete with the Word of God. Emperors couldn't stop it. Nero couldn't stop it. Muhammad, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot couldn't stop it. Chains and prisons cannot stop it. Persecution, martyrdom, the sword are unable to stop the Word of God from going out into the world. Modern science, with its focus on atheistic evolution, has tried to stop it and has failed. Because Jesus himself assures us, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Not only the Word of God cannot be stopped, it achieves amazing miracles. God assures Isaiah that the word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. So God told Abraham, your barren wife Sarah, 75 years of age, is going to have a child next year. Sarah laughed, but she conceived and bore a son. The angel told Joseph that his fiancée Mary would conceive and bear a son, whom they would call Jesus, while she was still a virgin. And she did. God told Gideon that his small band of 300 men would defeat an army of 135,000 soldiers. And it did. Peter and John were accosted one day at the gate leading into the temple in Jerusalem. There was a lame man lying on the ground and he begged them to heal him. He had been carried there by his friends because he had been unable to walk since he was born. Peter and John healed him. And they were dragged off to the high priest's family, to the high priest himself, who asked them how they managed to do this. Peter responded, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. That's the work of God in progress. But what about today? All these examples are from the past. Is the Word of God still alive and active today? Is it still powerful? Can it achieve such miracles? Can we believe what the author tells us in his letter to the Hebrews? The Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing in the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Some years ago, I was at Port Macquarie helping out during a vacancy. And the Gideons invited me along to their annual luncheon as a thank you to the Christians who have supported them during the past year, and I represented the local congregation. The guest speaker was a former Member of Parliament, and a Gideon, of course, and he told us of his experience as a Gideon distributing Bibles, how one day he visited the jail at Goulburn distributing the New Testaments, and a prisoner came up to him and said, can I have one, please? And the Gideon, for some reason or other, asked him, why do you want it? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, the pages are very fine and they make terrific cigarette papers. The Gideon thought to himself, what shall I do? Moved surely by the Holy Spirit, he said, look, I'll give you the New Testament on one condition, that you promise to read every page you tear out before you smoke it. And the prisoner said, okay, I promise. A year later, the Gideon went back to the same jail and the same prisoner was there, and he ran up to him and he said, hey, remember me? He gave me a New Testament, and I made a promise that I would read every page I tore out of the New Testament. I kept my promise, and by the time I got to John 3:16, I gave my life to Christ. And you know what? I've also stopped smoking. Yes, the Word of God is still alive, still living, still active, still powerful. It's not fettered. It's still going out into the world in many different ways. Every effort to silence it has failed. It's unstoppable and continues to achieve and accomplish what God sends it out to do, namely to make people wise unto salvation. Why? Because God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. However, when Paul declares that the Word of God cannot be bound or chained, he's not suggesting that it will never be attacked, resisted, maligned, banned or burnt. After all, the same Paul warns us in his letter to Timothy, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away from the truth. They will try to resist the teachings of the Bible and do. So the Word of God has not changed in the sense that it will never be attacked. It means that its truths will never, ever be silenced. The same word delivered to the Old Testament people of God and to the New Testament people of God, to you and to me, by the Holy Spirit, remains. As Isaiah prophesied, the Word of God stands forever. This means that we can trust its teachings, its prophecies, its promises, and its plan of salvation. The message of the cross has not been changed. The truths of God's word cannot be chained. They are sealed in the sacred and holy blood of Jesus Christ. So friends, as we grow older and start staring our mortality in the face, we can trust the word of God, that Jesus' blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress, wherein before my God I'll stand, when I shall reach the heavenly land. Yes, Jesus' blood and righteousness my beauty are. And these beautiful flowers in our church today remind us of that beauty, our beautiful Saviour. Doesn't this give us tremendous comfort in a world, as someone has said, is going mad, in which God is considered dead, in which piety and decency are ridiculed, in which profanity and blasphemy are applauded, in which everything is changing and decaying? So friends, let's thank God for his mighty, living, regenerating, sanctifying, unstoppable, unchanging word. It's a lamp to our feet and it's a light to our path. So God grant that we cling to it until our dying breath. It will lead us home. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus, our rock and salvation. Amen.